Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. We've had a great big storm here today, and it looks like our system went into a little glitch, but I trust that we're coming through loud and clear on both Blog Talk Radio and the Omega Radio Network. If we can get just a confirmation that we're broadcasting, that would be awesome. And if we're broadcasting live, maybe you could just press 1 on your dial pad, and I'll see that you said thumbs up or give me a text, 858-864-8712. All right, very good. We did get a thumbs up, so I'm very happy about that. We're going to get to that call in just a little bit. We are going to talk about some very interesting things today. I want to share a little bit in my heart what is really moving. And I guess what I'll do is just begin with sharing some of the thoughts that were in my heart this morning concerning the assault against the mind of man that is happening in our world right now, and that it is more intense than ever before. A collective conscience has been bombarded by the powers of darkness, and the inward invasion has overwhelmed and overcome the people and taken them captive by fear. There is an answer, and that's what we're going to talk about on today's radio broadcast. There's an answer to the problems that we are facing in the world in which we live. And somewhat of a confession that I want to just talk about for a minute. It's not in the realm of sin, but, you know, sometimes we do things and all things work together for good for those that love God. But Patricia and I were finished with our chores yesterday about 6:30 in the evening. And we decided to go to bed last night at 6:30. And I was going to read a book, or actually reread a book, by an author by the name of Joanne Vian. And the name of the book is The United Nations Global Straitjacket. Some of you may have heard of it. And I had the book, and I opened it up, and I was reading the very beginning parts, and it talked about a movie called America, A-M-E-R-I-K-A. And it was all about a Russian invasion in the United States. So I thought, well, rather than reading, maybe we could just watch this and see where Joanne's coming from and what this part of the book is. And so I looked for it and could not find it. But I did come across a lot of programs on America, and one of them was Active Shooter, Active Shooter in America. And I asked Patricia, do you want to look at this and see what this is all about, especially on the heels of what just happened in Florida, where 17 people were killed by an active shooter. At least that's the story that we're being told. And I have no reason to doubt that at the moment. However, this I turned it on, and it was a series of programs that detailed information of the people that were involved from every active shooter event in this country. It actually begins with Austin, Texas in 1961, I think it was, where there was an active shooter, and then Luby's Cafe, and it just marched on. And we picked it up where it began in Aurora, Colorado, during a Batman movie, early morning, like 2 in the morning, something like that, when this movie went on. And, you know, the active shooter that went into the movie theater and killed a lot of people. And I think he shot 70, and I forget the number of people that were killed. But they took you through every detail of that. And then they continued to show all the other active shooters from San Bernardino, California, and how the Christmas party, they walked you through that whole thing. They showed everything, how it worked. 13 people were killed at the Christmas party. A lot of detailed information. They showed the Naval Shipyard active shooter in Washington, D.C. They showed one I had never heard of before, which was in Santa Monica in 2013 when Barack Obama was there as the president of the United States. And on that same day he arrived, there was a young man that shot and killed his father, his son, set the house on fire, went on a killing rampage. And it just goes on where he wound up in a college just in black garb with an assault rifle. And from there it went on to the Orlando shooting, where I think it was 49 people were shot and killed, and the police are involved with this. They're telling you the story, what it felt like. And the thing that caught my attention, now, should I have been watching that or not? I don't know. I woke up this morning thinking I wish I hadn't. However, I did, on the heels of receiving a video from someone that's in our Facebook program. Her name is Charlene. She gave me a video and said that this was because of a girl's faith in Christ. And it shows a village of people, dark-skinned people, not black, but either, you know, whatever that was, Ecuadorian, or they wanted to say it was from India. But it, regardless of what the woman did, they set her on fire after beating her to death. And so I saw that. I was asked to send that out. I trusted the source. I did. And again, regardless of what happened, it was not Photoshop. It was a real deal. And it just shows the brutality of men's hearts. And then, of course, watching this other last night, and I spent a good 4 or so hours just watching one scene after another, and we only got a quarter of the way through of all the active shooter events that have taken place in this country that lead all the way up to what happened in Florida just a few days ago. And I questioned myself when I went to bed because I did not like the impression that was left in my mind with all the violence that was being perpetrated. So I woke up this morning to a storm, and it was very thunderous and loud, and I just begged God, you know, Lord, cleanse this earth. We need such a bath. The earth needs to be cleansed. We need a bath. We need a washing, a thorough, intense, inward cleansing and baptism in this earth, and the church needs one as well. And so I woke up this morning, was talking to a brother of mine, and I wondered, you know, what is the safest thing to do? And again, I'm wanting God's wisdom. It's not just my emotions. But, you know, do we want to continue to talk about the things that are going on in this world and the impression of those things? Because they're very real events. They're not make-believe stories on TV. These are very intense, very real impressions of how life can end in a moment, how people are completely taken over by some force. I know it's demonic, and they exhaust themselves. They showed the young man, Dylan, the white 19-year-old, I think he was, or whatever his age was, when he went to South Carolina into the Alliance Church, and he shot and killed the pastor and some others. And, you know, you could just see that while they're involved in their shooting, they're under an impression, they're under some kind of influence. And then, of course, when it's done, they're just cold and empty, and they have this stare, and you know, they're just, it's a demonic possession. There's no doubt in my mind. You know, even if it's ultra mind control, whatever, still behind the scenes, it's demonic. We know that. The thing that caught my attention, questioning, you know, do we need to be talking about these things? In the Orlando shooting, now here's the deal with Orlando. They showed the entire clip of all the homosexuals that were involved and some of the ladies that showed up there, the transgender community, that the Pulse nightclub was a gathering place, and they had the videos. And you could see the most wicked, evil, you know, licentious debauchery, you know, in these clubs, and everybody's having, quote unquote, a good time with the strobe lights and homosexual men with men and women do it, you know, just crazy, right? And so this Muslim goes in and he shoots and he kills 49 people, and then he is shot and killed. And one of the people in the clip said these words: "I can't believe such evil came into that club and killed 49 people." And you have to stop and think for a moment. While they're calling the killing of the 49 people evil, well, what was it that these people, these homosexuals and lesbians and transgender and people that were out there getting drunk and smoking dope and using drugs and hip-hopping and doing all this stuff, well, what were they doing? Having fun? Was that innocent? Was that right? Now, two wrongs never make a right, but the fact of the matter is evil was already in that place because the souls of those people were damned. The souls of those people that were participating in that kind of behavior, according to the Word of God, the righteous, eternal Word of God, is that their souls were damned. And they were living in defiance. They were living in debauchery. They were living in wickedness. And then another wicked thing happens, a killing happens. Now, obviously, the man that did it felt he was doing Allah's work. And according to the Quran, you're supposed to kill people that are homosexuals, et cetera, et cetera. And so we have, I was watching all of this and I said, Lord, you know, what is the answer? And it reminded me of a conversation I had with a dear brother. You've heard him on this program many, many times, that has continued to say basically the same thing in our conversations. And here's what he's been saying. The American people are not prepared for the level of conscious warfare. They're not ready for what's coming down the pike. They're not ready for what they are about to witness, what they are about to see. And so I thought about that, and I thought about my time, and I thought, well, there's got to be an answer to this, because the idea is not just to get people afraid, to, you know, to dispel dramatic theater, to get things rolling in the right direction. The idea is to awaken the conscience, particularly of God's people, to the realities that are taking place and prepare them and equip them for the 1,000 to fall at their side and the 10,000 to fall at their right hand, and yet it not coming near them. However, if when the 1,000 die and the 10,000 on the right hand and the people that are watching it become impacted emotionally, psychologically, it can have a bitter effect on the soul. I wasn't prepared last night to witness what I did in this documentary called Active Shooter. But by the time I was done, I felt like I too needed a bath and a cleansing and a washing from the imagery and the knowledge that there are people like this in our society and all over the world. And so, as I've been praying through the night and waking up this morning and getting my focus, I printed out something that I wrote. Well, it was already printed out. It's in a stack. I've been printing out thousands of pieces of paper of prophecies from a long time ago. And this one was on the top of the list, and it was from September 2003. And I want to read it to you because it's consistent with the Word of God, which we're going to get into. but it just seems to speak so perfectly to this moment. And I pray it's an encouragement to you who love the Lord. In spite of the things that you may hear, in spite of the things that you may see, witness, or at times even experience along the way in this life. And this was titled, back in September of 2003, The Sealed of God. The Sealed of God. I have sealed my servants and have given them those things necessary for life. In the days ahead, great judgment shall fall. But the miraculous moment of divine intervention will stagger the minds of wicked men and devils. The appearing of a people clothed in glory shall manifest my strength and righteousness in the earth. I revealed my glory to my witnesses on the mount where I was transfigured. There I revealed to them what would dwell in them throughout eternity. Yet this is the time, this is the hour for the release of that light body within to shine forth to the nations of the earth. During the time of great tribulation, which now is in the hearts and minds of men, there shall be a light that all may come to. In the time of trouble and destruction, there will be a light for the masses to come. Yet many shall not come to the light, and many who do will not be able to enter into that light because their hearts have remained unsanctified and full of darkness. These are men who love darkness rather than light. In the midst of death and destruction shall be a habitation for the righteous. They shall surely be delivered from the wrath. These are the sealed ones who have been sealed in preparation of what is to come. These have peace and rest of soul and are obedient to do my will. It is the seventh day, and it was on the seventh day that I led up three into the mountain to a high and lofty place. Beneath them on the earth, there were nine who were attempting to settle the chaos and confusion. There was a man tormented by a devil, which the nine could not deliver. Then I appeared with my three and set the man free and brought deliverance to the captive. So shall it be at this time. And for those of you who don't know that story, I'll read it when we're done here. It's in Matthew chapter 9 or 17, I believe it is. Actually, Matthew 17. Those who have come up to me and have seen my glory, as in the story of the Mount of Transfiguration, and know the time in which they live, shall not fear the events that take place in the earth, but will understand their commission in the midst of the storm. Did I not say that there would be the apostle on the ship in the midst of the storm? Was there not a prophet on the ship during the days of my servant Jonah? Was I not on the ship during the storm on the Sea of Galilee? Yes, it is true that I have never abandoned the ship. In the midst of mighty storms, I have my way. I win. I never lose. Will you, the sealed ones, not be my habitation of safety during the storm? Will you not be those who are alive and remain? Yes, you shall remain through the storms that come. And your life will be a refuge to those in despair. Did I not say that on the third day there would be a great harvest? Indeed, there shall come forth those who have been appointed to life. Do you not know that there is a calm before the storm, and afterwards there is peace, a cleansing, and a work of righteousness? There will be much to clean up, but I say that in the end I will be glorified, and my ways will be exalted. My kingdom shall appear in the earth, and there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Have I not finished my work? Have I not ascended to the right hand of majesty on high? Do I not rule the heavens and the earth? Indeed I do. And I have given my church the authority and power that I had while in the earth to do those things that I have done. While the storm raged, was I not asleep in the boat? That is me. That is who I am. I am not fearful of the events that are coming, and neither are those who have been sealed by and with my spirit. So I say to those who are at rest, be ready for an awakening. For the cries of many shall resound in the ship, and will come to you and ask you to arise from your rest in order that their lives may be spared. These are my disciples, my people, who will be delivered from perilous times and jeopardy. Yet many at the same time will not be in the ship. Here, terrible destruction will be heard and seen. Look about you, for the signs of the times are everywhere. This is my day and the hour of my power, says the Lord, and I will demonstrate my glory and power. Upon the vessels of mercy shall my goodness be, and upon the vessels of wrath shall my severity be. Choose this day whom you will serve. Again, I have finished my work, and I have given you my seventh generation, the generation of the upright, tools to finish the work. This work is to execute the judgment upon that which is hastening the day of destruction and perdition. Understand that behind the scenes of all natural activities are roaring lions seeking whom they may devour. It is the heart of the evil one to bring death and destruction to as many as possible. This is not my will, but because of my justice and perfect judgment, the law of sin and death cannot be reversed by an unrepentant nation or people. Many are blinded and cannot see afar off. Many are short-sighted and cannot see what is right before their eyes. These are mockers and scoffers and are ignorant of what has been set into motion. Yet there are those who have ears to hear and eyes to see that have taken refuge in the tabernacle of my holiness and have conducted themselves in humility and true righteousness. Yes, it is a day of light and darkness. Light to those who are mine and darkness to that which is not of me. Plagues are being released against America, just as they were in Egypt, in order to turn the hearts of the wicked who hold high offices in the land, who have interrupted and disturbed that which is of me in the land. Now, my sealed ones, let me read that again. Plagues are being released against America, just as they were in Egypt, in order to turn the hearts of the wicked who hold high offices in the land, who have interrupted and disturbed that which was of me in the land. Now, my sealed ones, be the signs and wonders in the earth. You must be the Ten Commandments on the streets of your cities. You must be the gospel of the kingdom to those about you. You must be my voice. Know that this generation is the generation of judicial authority and kingdom government. You are my shoulders in the earth, and upon you shall government power be released. Consider my two witnesses. These have power to release judgment and have fire come out of their mouths. Read of them. Know that you have this power within you. You may speak a word and have it come to pass. Understand that my witnesses have my heart and speak only what I tell them to speak. They will not tickle the ears of the dead, but will speak forth with resurrection power in order to awake those who have fallen asleep. The life is in you that was in me. I am your life, and there is nothing impossible with me. Understand that a determination has been set, and it will not return. America shall be judged for the iniquities that she has hidden. Watch as the truth of underground activities begin to come forth. You have seen it already in one corporation after another. But there is that which is so dark within your borders that many will be shocked by what they see, but not you, my sealed ones, for you know all things and are not under the spell of deception. You have all truth and know that the heart of man is desperately wicked. And without the blood of my son to cleanse the heart, there is no good thing that can come forth from it, because the unclean spirit has controlled and operated in the heart of a fallen humanity. I will shake all things that can be shaken, but you, my beloved, shall never be moved. Again, these are words that were written almost as words of knowledge back in 2003. I find it absolutely amazing that today, in light of what's happening in our country with active shooters walking through so many different places, and dear friends, I have to tell you that the places that were chosen for these active shooters were everything from high schools to theaters to naval shipyards. You see, America is a land of unwalled villages. America is a gathering place of multitudes from nations all over the world. And the if a 19-year-old boy can breach the security of this superpower nation and kill 17 people, it appears to me that the vulnerability of our nation is so ripe. We see these events. We are told in Scripture that the only thing that will happen is that we'll see them on the left and on the right, but it won't come near us. But what do we do when we see it? How do we respond? What do we do with what we know? And the only answer is, what I'm hearing in this writing, is to get the seal of God in your heart. And you say, well, the Bible says that I am sealed in Ephesians chapter 2. And yes, Ephesians chapter 2 does declare that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit. But that's not the seal that we're talking about here. And I want to share a little bit more about the seal of God upon your life for the time that you are living in. And I want you to understand what is really being said. And in order to do that, we have to go again back to Ezekiel chapter 9. You've all heard this before, but I think it's important in light of what we're talking about. Because what is happening in Ezekiel chapter 9 is that there is a determination for judgment upon the land of Israel and upon the people of Israel. And it reads like this, and I'll just read a few verses in Ezekiel chapter 9, and I want you to pay very close attention, because then we're going to the book of Revelation. It says, he cried also in my ears, Ezekiel 9:1, in a loud voice, saying, come and cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. Behold, six men came from the way of the higher gate, which lieth toward the north. And every man a slaughter weapon in his hand. And one man among them was clothed with linen, with a writer's inkhorn by his side, and they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub, whereupon he was, to the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen, which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Now I want you to get the imagery that this man, or these seven men at this point, six of them are men with slaughtering weapons. Whatever kind of weapons they had, they were slaughtering weapons. And then one has an inkhorn. And as they're in there, we find in verse 4, the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. Now, this is very important when it comes to being sealed in this hour, because the people that are being sealed are people that are seeing the wickedness within their land. They're seeing the abominations. They're seeing the desecrations. They are seeing all the evil. And ladies and gentlemen, can we deny the evil that we see being perpetrated within our nation and around the world? I don't believe we can. People that walk through this moment and do not sigh, do not cry. In other words, there's no brokenness. Jeremiah the prophet said they don't even blush anymore. And yet when 49 people visiting a homosexual nightclub committing the most lewd acts think that the evil is the man that killed them, well, we have an imbalance here. There's something wrong with this idea. The evil was being perpetrated, lived out, paraded, dancing through the streets, if you will. And nobody was saying anything. Nobody, you know, we're not shutting these things down. We're advocating it. We're promoting it. And then out of the shooting comes the legalization, the legislation, another benefit, another gifting to the thing that God calls an abomination in our land. So there's a lot of wickedness, but very few people are lamenting and mourning. I wonder if you and I are troubled by what we see in our country. Are you troubled by what you see? Does it break your heart? Have you wept? Are there moments where you're just walking or driving and your eyes are pouring down water like rivers? Are you broken for what you know? Yes, people that have been murdered in these active shooter cases and so many other people that are dying through so many different ways. Yes, their souls are going somewhere in the eternal reality. Would we want them to repent and believe in Jesus? Yes. That is the greater thing. That is the most beautiful thing for people to get saved. I don't care what sins they commit. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I got news for you. Whether you're, you know, practicing the most lewd acts in the world or you're a good person, quote unquote, without Christ and the confession of Christ, there is no salvation of the soul. Everybody, good and evil, go to the same place. So, you know, it's not about a self-righteous, holier-than-thou attitude. It's about we need to see people get saved the way that we've been saved, and that is good. But when you see unchecked lewdness, unchecked abomination, unchecked desecration, in fact, when you begin to see the legislation, the promotion, the acceptance, the toleration, and you see these things growing within your society like warts on somebody's body or like a cancer within a body, and nobody does anything to correct it, but rather exalt it and advocate it and participate in it to a degree, well, we have a problem. And before you know it, the enemy has taken an inch and turned it into a yard, so to speak. But again, here's where the mark comes in. He said, mark the foreheads of the men and women that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that have been done in the midst thereof. Verse 5 of Ezekiel 9. To the others, he said in my hearing, go ye after them through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, neither have ye pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women. But come not near any man or woman upon whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. Then they began at the ancient men, which were before the house, and you know the rest of the story. I mean, I want you to get the imagery that this is a prophetic word being spoken to the prophet Ezekiel about the slaughtering weapons. And the only ones that were spared in the city of Jerusalem at that time were those who were sighing and crying. You know, this is really a symbol of repentance. This is a symbol of conviction. I remember a time when I was a little boy and our society was not as advanced in its wickedness as it is today, when 1 Adam 12 was probably the most, dramatic police movie on TV. You remember Adam 12. This is Adam 12, right? Well, in the Brady Bunch and Father Knows Best, and those were the of the 13 channels we had on our TV, those were the high-intensity ones. Well, I remember at a time when somebody had a bloody nose or somebody had blood or a bird fell to the ground dead, that it was a shock on the conscience. I remember a time when we were told in the 1960s when Gone with the Wind, somebody used a curse word on television for the first time. Frankly, Scarlett, you've heard me say that 100 times, but I want you to get this right, because that was a moment in our society, in our nation, that people were aghast. They were shocked by the hearing the word damn on television. Now, today, you turn on your television and everything is rated R. Everything is rated PG-13. Everything is blasphemy. I mean, so much of what we see in the television for years, which has conditioned the minds of the masses and has inspired violence, inspired murder, inspired rape, inspired sensuality, inspired homosexuality, lesbianism through the comedian programs, making light of things. There has been such a media mind blast, if you will, just an outpouring out of the belly of hell in Hollywood, you know, all of this conditioning. But I remember a time it wasn't like that. We used to cry when bad things happen to people. We used to hurt when something hurtful happened. Today, we are a nation that it's almost as though we're gone. We're animated. We're moving. We're living. We're eating. We're drinking. We're going about here and there, but we're not feeling. We can't feel anymore. We don't weep anymore. We don't mourn anymore. The Bible says, weep with those who weep. Mourn with those who mourn, suffer with those who suffer. And we're all about keeping ourselves from that. And so we just don't want it in our environment. So we build up all this protection so that we don't have to feel it. Well, I got news for you. If we're building up our protection, it's not going to stand. Only the seal of God is going to protect us. Only God's Spirit and God's angels are going to protect us. And if we're all about protecting ourselves and not feeling, well, then I don't know. I don't know. I think that we're probably going to experience what others have experienced. But I'm here to tell you today that if you and I can find within our own lives the weeping, the lamentation, the mourning, the woe of what we see and feel, even the prophet Jeremiah, who delivered one of the most intense messages in his generation, wept. He was known as the weeping prophet when he saw what was happening to his nation. Now, I want to go back and talk a little bit more about the seal in Revelation chapter 7. We just read in Ezekiel chapter 9, and now we read in Revelation chapter 7. Let's read this, because it's an end time reality, in verse 1. It says in Revelation 7, 1, "And after these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, beholding the four winds of the earth." Okay, so here they are. They're on the four corners of the earth. They're holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth. So something's holding back the wind, and it should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And that's where verse 1 ends. Verse 2, "And I saw another angel." This sounds to me like those winds are connected to Ezekiel chapter 9, right? These four winds are winds of judgment, obviously. But then we see another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. Here comes the man with the inkhorn, right, in Ezekiel chapter 9. So this angel has the seal of the living God, an inkhorn, if you will. "And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Now watch. This seal is a very specific seal. It's not the general seal of the believer in Ephesians chapter 2, which I'll read in just a moment. It's a very specific seal, just like in Israel, Jerusalem, in Ezekiel's time. Those that had the mark of the inkhorn were spared, but everybody else were touched and they were killed. Now, it says in verse 4, "I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." And then it talks about the 12,000 from each tribe. Many people believe that that is an exact number, 144,000, that are coming from the natural seed of Abraham. Okay, and they have a right to believe what they believe. That's okay. 144,000 Jewish people according to the flesh and the natural seed of Abraham. I have a problem with that, and it's okay, but I just believe in Romans chapter 11, where those of us who were once Gentiles, we were grafted in to the Israel of God, and if we've been grafted in, then we've been assimilated into the tribes, and by the time you get to the book of Revelation, you have a people that have been grafted into Israel, assimilated into the tribes. So why would you discount yourself from being one of the 144,000? And some people said, well, because you're not Jewish naturally according to the loins of Abraham. Well, there's a problem with that. I've been grafted in, that the Jew and the Gentile have become one new man in the earth. And so how do you get this seal? Do you have to be Jewish to get the seal? Fine, no. The reason why these people were sealed is found in chapter 14 of the book of Revelation. And so let's read it. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. "I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Sion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their foreheads." All right, so obviously this is the 144,000 from Revelation chapter 7. They're there. What are they doing? It says in verse 2, "I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. And I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps, and they sung as it were a new song before the throne and before the four beasts and the elders. And no man could learn that song but the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth." All right, Well, I'm going to show you what I believe that song is in just a moment. But here we have the 144,000 that have a new song in their hearts. They sing this song. They're the only ones on the earth that can sing it. But why? Why were they sealed? Why do they have the privilege to sing the song? Verse 4. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Now, most people listening to this say, well, there it is. I'm discounted. I have been defiled with women. I have had sexual relations with women and vice versa, women with men. I cannot be one of the 144,000. But I want to ask you a question. Do you think that the 144,000 that are mentioned here never had any sin in their lives ever? Or does the word of God stand that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God? Do you know that when you and I come to faith in Jesus Christ, our slate is wiped clean, that we become as virgins, like it says in Matthew 25, and it tells us about wise virgins and foolish virgins. This is all about the ecclesia, the church, called out ones. So one may possess the heart of a virgin through the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, the cleansing, the washing, that now commences a life of holiness. Can you do that? Can I do that? Can we walk in holiness after being baptized with the Holy Spirit? Can we walk like these 144,000 walk? Well, that means we stop fornicating, right? And it says in verse 4 again that they were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. Then it says, these are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goes. Can you follow the Lamb? Are you a disciple of Jesus Christ? Wherever he leads, will you follow him? It says also, these were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Will there be a first fruits reaping in the end of the age? Of these 144,000, obviously this is an end time scripture. This isn't going backwards and trying to find 144,000 back there anywhere. This is the 144,000 living in the last days. Again, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes. They're redeemed. They're a first fruits unto God into the Lamb. And listen to verse 5. In their mouth was found no guile, for they are without fault before the throne of God. So when I read this description of the 144,000, it says nothing about them being Jewish. What it says is that they have no guile, they have a virgin's heart, they follow the Lamb wherever he goes, that they are redeemed as a first fruits company of overcomers. In other words, these have overcome, and they are faultless before the throne of God. You say, well, is it possible to be faultless before the throne of God? Well, I believe it is. I want to read out of the book of Jude. Jude is right before Revelation. And I want to read just a few verses, and I'm going to start in verse 17. And it says in Jude, verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. These instructions are very important. You'll know why in just a moment. So, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, verse 22, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now listen, verse 24. He gives us all those instructions. Then he says this, now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling, preserve you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy to the only wise God. You see, Jude's writing to a people in his whole book is about causing them to remember, to stand fast, to be holy, to walk in holiness, to keep going, to move forward, to put off the old, put on the new. His whole letter is likened unto that. And he tells us that it's God that's able to keep those believers from falling and to present them faultless before the presence of his glory. God can keep you. Now, in Revelation chapter 9, let's go back there for a moment, talking about the seal. Revelation chapter 9, and I just want to begin a few verses in verse 1. The fifth angel sounded, I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And then you know what happens. It says, there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. Unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. It was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, listen, neither any tree, that's going back to Revelation 7, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. All right, so what does it say? It was commanded these locust armies, this demonic presence, that they should not touch, they should not hurt the grass of the earth, any green thing, any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. I think about these flus that are going around. I think about plagues. I think about all these things. It says in verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. Could it be radiation poisoning? What is this that's happening in Revelation chapter 9? Well, whatever it is, I want you to notice that the people that have the seal of God in their foreheads are not touched. Are you beginning to see a picture? Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Briefly, let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'll pick it up in verse 12, I think, is where I want to begin. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Let's see, where am I at here? Verse 11. Is it where I want to be? Ephesians 2, 11. No, that's not where I want to be. Hold on a second here. Where do we want to be? Okay, it's chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Sorry about the brief delay. So Ephesians 1, 11, it says this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also, this is now the general believers, that you who trusted Christ, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. So here Paul is talking about a general sealing of the saints of God unto salvation. This is a most amazing and remarkable reality for all men and women who have been born again, that you have an eternal seal on your life, the Holy Spirit, that regardless of what you go through, whether it's beheadings, whether it is, you know, persecution, whether it is dying in an explosion like so many have been, there is an eternal seal of the Holy Spirit in the life of a true believer. But not every true believer is an overcomer. Not every true believer is one of the 144,000. There were only 12,000 selected from the 12 tribes, if you will. And that's what it says in Revelation 7. So there's a remnant within each tribe. And the overcomers represent that seal in the last days that will preserve. Now, I didn't make this stuff up. This is written in the Word of God. And the only thing that I want to do is present the Word of God to you so that you have an opportunity to live a life in such a manner that this seal of God will be upon your life, that you who dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You will only see all these things around you, but it will not come nigh unto you, and it will not impact or impression your conscience to bring defilement or fear into your life or offense. And so the Word of God is very clear. It is our worthy pursuit in the hour in which we live to make sure that the seal of God is upon our lives. I would run my race to win, and I would not just give up and say, oh, well, that's only for the 144,000 Jewish people. Don't do that. Run. And if God sees you running, following the Lamb wherever he goes, in other words, doing whatever he instructs you to do, read the Bible, do what it says, being led by the Holy Spirit, that's for all believers. Having a virgin's heart, getting yourself cleaned up before the Lord. Get your mind, your conscience and mind cleaned up before the Lord. Get washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let the work of the cross really have its way in our lives. And as we are doing that, as we're walking in it, judging ourselves so that we won't be judged, looking at our attitudes, our conduct, our thing, like the 144,000. And if we say we can't, then we deny the power of the Holy Spirit. We should at least run the race. And if it shows up that while we're running, something happens, well, that's in God's hands. But again, I want you to remember these 144,000 were sealed for their conduct, not because they were Jewish. Praise God. The lines are open. 818-369-0326 is the number to call. If you have any questions or comments about what you heard on today's broadcast, I'd love to hear from you. And the number again, 818-369-0326 is the number to call. I don't know about you, but I want to be in the river of life. I want to be in the river that is flowing. I want to be in the river that is moving forward. I want to get drenched in the river of God. I want to live in the river of God. Remember, it's to the ankles and then to the knees and then to the loins, and then you swim in it. And what we mean by swimming in it is getting bathed from the inside out. This river cleanses from the inside out. It's not an external washing. How many of you want to have your conscience purged, conscience clean, washed, worthily washed? I mean, really get cleaned up right now so that we could be the salt and the light in this earth in its darkest hour. Right now, we don't just need an organized religious system called church. We need a people who are bathed and clothed in the glory of God that are about to manifest something in this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot manifest anything if we're not purged, if we're not cleansed, if all the briars and the little foxes that spoil the vine are not dealt with, the little bit of leaven that leavens the whole loaf. It's time for a deep spiritual cleansing. I went to a dentist yesterday and had my teeth cleaned. And in the teeth cleaning, I realized they were hitting some pockets that were a little bit sore. And these were the little pockets down in there that, you know, that the work of degeneration takes place. And I thought, man, that really hurts. But if you don't get down there and clean it up, then, you know, how are you ever going to be confident that you're doing well? And there is some deep cleaning that has to go on in our minds, deep cleaning in the church, a deep spiritual cleansing, a soul cleansing anointing must come to the body of Christ. We must be purged fully. Do you want to go there? I'm not talking about religious have-tos, obligation. No, this is for the bride who desires the bridegroom. This is a spiritual pursuit for the holiness of God to be representative of that bride of Christ. You know that Jesus is not going to join himself to a carnal, lukewarm, spotted, blemished bride. It's not going to happen. So it's time for the cleansing. Are you up to it? Are you ready to run this race? 818-369-0326, the number to call, and press 1 on your dial pad. I don't know, but I'm going to take this call right now. Pastor Ken, you had pressed the 1 button. I don't know if you were pressing it again or not, but give you opportunity to weigh in and share your thoughts about what you're hearing this morning.
You bring up a lot of good points. I'm busy writing, trying to keep up with you this morning on here. And, you know, it makes perfect sense. the simplest thing that I can think of, like you're talking about, is get cleaned up. There's no two ways about it. How many times have we said it before as well, that when you make room for God's gifts by cleaning ourselves up, we can do so much more. And we just need to be ready for what's coming. And the problem is that many of us are not. And I hate to see what's going to happen. The other issue, of course, that comes up with that is that if you're not prepared and you're hurting, then I'm going to have to take time to tend to you instead of trying to help others as well that are need to be taught more and more, and our time should be taken up trying to help the wounded. And that's a difficult thing, and that causes a lot of problems. So we need everybody to get as healed up as possible so they can withstand the onslaught that is coming down.
Well, amen. And while you're talking, we're talking about corrections, we have to be extremely careful about the information we're sharing. Yesterday I had received, and I want everybody on our Facebook page, everybody that's listening to this broadcast or will be listening to it, there was a video of a woman. They said she was from India and that she had visited a church. And because she went to church, the village community took her into a circle, and they punched her and beat her, and she became a bloody mess. And then they set her on fire. And that went viral all over the world about how these people from India who are Hindus could do such an evil thing. Well, then a friend of mine, Bob Hagen, who's one of the hosts on the Omega Radio Network, said one of his friends told him that was a video of an Ecuadorian woman who was involved in a taxi cab robbery. So, you know, I was very careful, and I thought, okay, we've got to be careful about what we send out. Ultimately, the brutality of what they did to this young girl stands in an office all by itself. I mean, it's just a really bad deal what happened. Ideally, I think the spreading of that in the idea that she was a Christian going to church and being persecuted for her faith was intended to, you know, bring an awakening to Christians to the persecution going on around the world. Now, we do know that there is persecution going on around the world in many countries. But that particular video that I sent it out to several hundreds of people on our Facebook and Messenger page, and thank you for the correction, Bob, if you're out there listening today. Regardless, the brutality of men's hearts to do something like we saw in that video is brutal. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to see a lot of brutal images. And we don't have to. I mean, what we could do, and I say this in all sincerity, turn off the television. Don't listen to anything. Just go and live your life, and if it happens to happen around and about you, so be it. I'm never an advocate, even though I ask questions at times because I just want to hear the right answers anyways. I'm never an advocate of burying your head in the sand. My dear brother this morning, Mike, shared with me that, man, if God wanted to bury all the bad stuff, he wouldn't have had the Bible written, because the Bible is written and full of bad stuff. You name it, it's in there. Every form of corruption has been written for our learning and understanding. And so I'm not an advocate of not knowing. I believe that men and women of God do need to know what's going on, and they need to know the increase of the wickedness that is happening. Why? Because it is a sign of the times. The Bible says, and Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, in the last days, evil men will wax worse and worse. Why did he tell us that if he didn't want us to be aware of it? Why did Jesus tell us about all the things that would be happening if he did not want us to be aware of it? The idea is not to be aware and then get into fear. The idea is to be aware and then get built up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, getting your heart and mind cleansed from all defilement of sin, knowing that you're going to see it on your left and on your right, but it's not going to come near you. These are the important things. And to move forward today, I want to continue on with my beloved wife, Patricia. You know, she's written a book called Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights, and it is Patricia's heart to prepare and equip the body of Christ for the days that are lying ahead. And so I want to bring her on to the broadcast right now as we're talking. And, you know, she's been preparing for this morning. Patricia, what are your thoughts about some of the things you're hearing today, and where would you like to go?
Well, where I would like to go is to the truth. And I believe that's what was spoken of today, the truth. We saw what we saw on television because I believed it was ordained for us to see it. It did break our hearts, all those mass murders. My goodness, I did not, no, I knew that. I did not realize that there was going to be such an incredible move of evil. You know, you hear about it, you consider it, you think about it, but you never really, really know until you see the conglomerate portion of what has been going on for the last 20 years at least. And it goes further back than that. And what does the scriptures tell us about it? Why did I go into deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights? The reason I did is because of the times we are in. I believe God led me to that for that reason, because of the times we are in. And the times we are in are bringing understanding more and more to the body of Christ if they would just adhere to the truth. For the truth is going to set us free. Now, in 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." And what I saw on those programs we were watching were people that were literally possessed with demons. You could see it when you looked in their eyes, their demeanor, and everything about them was radiating darkness. And deceitfulness has come upon the nation. And these deceitful spirits come in many different ways, but mostly through education of what we're learning and what we're seeing and what we're hearing at the universities and schools and even in the church. There is such a great deception coming from Congress. And in 2 Timothy 3:1-17, it says, "But understand this, that in the last days people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power." What it goes on to say in that scripture, avoid such people. Have nothing to do with them. Because the unholy spirit that they're moving in will try to tempt you into some kind of frustration or anger, or even considering some of their ways and thoughts that are not correct and not right in the times we are in. Now, what did we discuss yesterday? We discussed that sin not confessed and repented of will only keep a person under legal captivity to Satan, and Satan will continue to act upon his legal rights. In other words, when one who continues in sin is in the direct agreement with Satan, he remains in rebellion and to the authority of Almighty God. Psalms 32:5 says it this way: "Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin." You notice how the word is spoken of there? You forgave the guilt of my sin. What most of us don't realize growing up and going into the experience of the world is that we literally carry guilt when we do things that we know are wrong. And one may say, "Look, I didn't feel guilty about that at all." But it is written, the law is written on everyone's heart, according to Scripture. And when it comes down to the realization of who we are and why we do the things we do, we must consider that we have been carrying guilt within our hearts, and that causes us much aggravation in life and much depression. Trouble with man is all about. The Lord says, I forgive the guilt of your sin. So sin brings guilt, and we carry that guilt, and it brings us into a place of darkness in our hearts and minds, and we no longer can consider things with a clear understanding. Guilt will cause us to see things through a darkness, and it will not be with perfection. It will not be with absolute truthfulness. What else did we talk about? We talked about the thinker, how man tries to be a free thinker under guilt. Guilty to the Word of God, he's guilty. He's guilty. But when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and confess the things that we believe we've been wronged in, and that's what it will take, our conscious mind will know the things that we have been wronged in. Now, our subconscious may cover to a degree, but as we confess the things we know we have been wrong in and ask for forgiveness of those things, our guilt is removed. Our conscience becomes clear, and we become free agents of the Holy Spirit in a way that we could never have done it or done before, no matter how hard we try to work at it. I know for myself, I did everything I know to become a free thinker. I was searching for utopia. And everything I tried, in every direction I went in, I thought I had some wisdom and knowledge and understanding about things. But you know what? My life would not change. It was always one situation after another, one problem after another, until I came to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. And when I realized that I was carrying guilt in my heart through the sins that I've committed, and confessed those sins for the first time in my life, I became free. My attitude changed. My desires changed. My heart changed. My attitude changed. Everything within me changed. And Satan had less of a hold on me than he had prior. Before, I would have considered myself right, considered myself with excuse for what I did as right. But then I was able to see, after receiving the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart, I was searching, I was desiring to be free. And then I could see that I was guilty. I wasn't the perfect little girl I thought I was. I wasn't all the right little girl I thought I was. They were wrong. I was right. And so it goes on. But thank God we understand that freedom takes a cost. And what is that cost? It's simple, dying to self. And we also spoke about guilt, outcome of unconfessed sin, brings to us sickness and disease. And the outcome of sin is manifested through guilt again. Person may try to cover guilt through various fleshy ways, like I said yesterday, such as drugs and alcohol and other human diversions. However, guilt will always remain. We were created that way since the fall. Not in the beginning. I want to reinstate that. In the beginning, we were created perfect, beautiful, and wonderful. But since we received guilt by receiving the knowledge of falsity, accepting the things that were spoken of through Satan, as Eve did and then Adam, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, mixture, confusion, mankind fell. And that is where guilt began its journey. However, this guilt will always remain. Tormentor will always be there until we confess our sins to the one who can forgive them, the one who paid the price for it, Almighty God, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus delivered us from sin. Now, does that mean we'll go walking on a daily basis perfect? It's a possibility. However, if we see the error of our ways and confess them immediately, we're pretty much there. Have you noticed that Christian who has received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, who understand the Word of God, that the more you have confessed your sin and saw your error, the freer you became. And now you sin less than you used to. You sin much less than you used to. And again, let's consider sin. That which is not faith is sin. And believing turns everything around. Unbelief is the basis of all sin, because we were placed in that condition from the fall, from generation to generation through curses. And then we come to the place where we finally realize, hopefully, that that has been paid for. Satan can no longer have his power over us. The price has been paid on the cross. We receive that. We receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, Master, and Lord. We ask him to come in with his Spirit to move within us, to have his way now as he did when he walked the face of the earth, to do mighty miracles and exploits. We become a different people. We become a people that is so powerful and so strong and such overcoming in our mentality, amazed how mankind could have been if they continued in the way. The way is Jesus Christ. And if you do continue in the way, you're going to find that your life is going to progress into a greater and greater victory. I tried everything possible. It didn't work. It didn't work. But when I received the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ and made him master of my life, Savior of my life, my friend, his Spirit now moves in me, that I may be able to do exploits, that I may be able to overcome the things that made me a lesser person, because I was guilty. I was ashamed. It goes right back to it. Oh, I covered it up. I felt that I was right, as I said earlier, in my choices. I believed I was right in the things that I did and the choices I made, until I realized that they weren't right at all, that I was hurting people along the way, and my decisions have been destructive to me and to others that were with me. Now, I didn't know that until I read the Word of God, and I began to see what harm in my life and others by the enlightenment of the Word, the truth. And again, the truth shall set us free, as I said many times before. We have to become relieved of guilt. And you may ask, if all we need to do is to ask for forgiveness to be free of guilt, why would anyone need deliverance from devils? Would not the devils flee in the presence of repentance? The answer is that although it is true that the forgiveness from sin brings supernatural relief and peace to the believer, the person must take action. You and I must take action. We must repent. We must have a complete turning away. And if we would stay in a state of holiness through the Word of God, praying, seeking his way, his understanding, which is divine wisdom and great faith, the desire may be there to sin, but it is an easier task to overcome. Deliverance from evil spirits is sometimes a necessary action and should be seriously considered and gratefully welcomed. I hope you do gratefully welcome
the teaching. And I also do thank you for listening in. I am Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier, and I am discussing a reading from my book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. I was supernaturally given this title, and now I see that the rights that Christians have been granted have been dulled and misunderstood, and it was my desire to see people understand their rights, just as I wish the Constitution of the United States would still stand firm. And if we continue to move in that direction and insist on it, it may happen. But if we remain quiet and do nothing, it'll continue to fall away, as was explained in 1 Timothy. The love of many will wax cold. Now let's talk about beginning your ministry on deliverance. Hopefully that's where you will go. When you hear this program, you will consider maybe that's what I would like to do also for my ministry, to set people free. Jesus Christ, when he walked the face of this earth and did many miracles by the power of the Holy Spirit, in which we have been granted, cast out devils, healed the sick. He opened blind eyes. He opened deaf ears. He raised the dead. This is not an impossibility for a Christian who knows the rights that they have. It's that simple. It's scripturally sound, but it's not taught in schools of theology, many schools of theology, not all. Few do. So when you begin to minister deliverance, you will see the reality of devil spirits. Now, that's the reason I wrote the book, that you could read my experiences, and hopefully they will affect your life, and you could perhaps discern some of the things that I am saying, and you will move in the way of the Holy Ghost to make it powerful in your life also. You will want to minister deliverance, and you will see the reality of devils. You begin to see the reality of devil spirits. You can see it in the facial expressions. You'll begin to see it within the eyes of the individual, movements, words, sounds. And you will witness many manifestations of these, what I call illegal trespassing. And why do I call them illegal trespassers? As I said before, Jesus Christ died for our sins. He paid a dear price, the worst case scenario you could ever consider. He also took all our sin upon himself, all our sickness, all our disease, to pay that price. And it was the most horrific, most tormenting experience that any human being had ever experienced and ever will. Now, we call him human being because he came in the flesh so he can discern our life and show us how to walk and overcome the things that have kept us crippled and in darkness for thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. He came to pay a price to set us free. And we are at a time now, folks, we are at a time now where we better understand the truth. And the only thing that's going to set us free is the truth, because everything else is deception. And I've said it over and over again. It's called the Great Deception, the times we're in right now. The last days are called the Great Deception, not just in the world, but in the church. So we're looking at everything here. Now, what does deliverance do? We have to, if we're going to move in this wonderful ministry, deliverance takes total dependence on God. We can't depend on ourselves. We're not smart enough. We're not wise enough. We don't have the incredible divine wisdom necessary to fight such a foe who has been around for over 6,000 years of our knowledge. So what do? He has learned the ways of every man, every woman. He has controlled the earth. He has controlled lives. Wars and rumors of wars have been going on since the fall. Murders, killing, every kind of debauchery, sin of every way, from the very ongo from the fall of Adam and Eve. So a price has been paid. So we know that that price is going to give us some power, some might, some tools to work with. And we must be totally dependent on the wisdom of the great and mighty God who created the universe and the universes. How could anybody be smarter than that? We must be totally submitted and humbled before him to properly minister deliverance and to maintain the faith to see it through. If we are not humble, if we act as though we know more than we should when we don't, so that we could be accepted as a deliverer, then we won't properly minister deliverance and we'll be in trouble immediately because Satan will know it. So we have to maintain the faith in Christ, in God, to see it through, to know that he will move in us, that he'll open our eyes to see and to understand what is bringing that individual into bondage. Now, the manner in which to successfully administer deliverance is to resist Satan. Now, how do I do that? How do you resist a spirit that is so mighty that he has held the world in his hands for the last 6,000 years going into the 7,000 years, who has created every abominable experience mankind has known? How do you do that? The only way you can do is it starts earlier. This takes total dependence on God because it's his power that we're using, not ours. His power has already overcome the work of Satan. He overcame Satan himself. Now what we are doing, we're executing the judgment because we have faith in God that he's with us, the Holy Spirit is with us, and his power brings forth the mighty work necessary to set a captive. You will recall from chapter 3, it is with the power of God that you cast out devils, not your power, but the power that comes from the kingdom of the living Lord within you, within I. And the person that is needing deliverance must have faith that he can be delivered, and he must have confidence in the deliverance minister. If it isn't there, you might as well just shut your word, your Bible, and leave. There's no sense in continuing on. He has to have confidence. And how will he have confidence, he or she? By seeing your faith, by hearing what you say, by knowing that it is something different than they have ever heard before. Something new. Something that thrills their heart. It's powerful. It's incredible. It brings a newness of consciousness to them. And I have learned that those most willing to be delivered have had the greatest success in being set free because they wanted it so desperately. They were so sick and tired of being sick and tired of being in situations where they never win, constantly overpowered by another demand, never victorious in themselves for a freedom that they so desire and want, tormented, afraid, brokenhearted, conscience bothering them all the time, fearful. I'll tell you what, it's amazing what the enemy has done to mankind. The more I consider it, what the enemy has done, the more I'm in awe that it was even possible to get that deep and go that far with humanity. So the individuals who are willing to put down their pride and their carnal concepts are able to loose the lesser devils from their hiding places and then allow the ruling spirits to be revealed. Now, what is a ruling spirit, you may ask? I brought it up earlier in conversation. The ruling spirits takes position over nations, countries, cities, families. Attached to them are lesser demons that operate within the individuals to make it a continual bondage and stronghold. Individuals who are willing to put down their pride are beginning to break the stronghold. And their carnal concepts and ideas of the world, they're able to loose these lesser devils from their hiding places and allow the ruling spirits to be revealed. This made it possible to demand the departure of the devils by invoking the name of Jesus. It made it impossible for them to remain. The devils cannot remain in an individual if the name of Jesus Christ has been invoked. They have to leave. Christ already overcame him on the cross. What are we doing? We're executing the judgment, which he wants us to do. He said, what I do, you shall do also, even greater things, because I go to the Father, my Father, and I send my Holy Spirit to you. Now, when we receive the true Holy Spirit, not the counterfeit, there are two. There are one that is manifesting through various means and ways in the world. They're very occultic, and they are different in religious attitude. They are not the true Holy Spirit of God, but the true Holy Spirit of God does exploits, sets captives free, brings deliverance, heals the sick. Now, what he said is, what I do, you shall do also, even greater. So before going any further, I want you to know it is important that you establish in your heart the fact that the person ministering the deliverance, whether it's you, whether it's me, must be a righteous individual, and I pray God help me to stay in that manner, one of faith, with an attitude of prayer, and without any unforgiven sin. Search your heart. It isn't difficult to do. If you feel you've been wrong in a situation, don't cover it. Confess your sin to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Start this way. And then go to the individual that you've offended or who has offended you. Forgive them. Forgive yourself. Let's get going. Let's not play pride games anymore. Satan will recognize the power of Christ within you as you deliver in this manner as a deliverance ministry. And as I mentioned earlier, an account of such a lack of righteousness is recorded in Acts 19. But what do I mean by such a lack of righteousness? Well, the people involved weren't ready to do what I am requesting us to do, what God has already requested us to do in the Word of God. In Mark 16:17, he says, believers shall cast out devils. That's who you are. That's who I am, hopefully. And if we truly have faith in God, believe his word, we're there. If we have confessed our sin and been cleansed of all unrighteousness, which he does, if we confess our sins, we're there. Now, what I have said before, in Acts 19, beginning with verse 13, it says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits and tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Now, let's look at Acts 19 and let's see what happened to some of these Jews who went around driving out evil spirits and tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. Now, I want you to remember the word possessed. This is very important. The word possessed here comes from the Greek word meaning vexed with a demon. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest. Notice this was a chief priest, a very learned religious figure of that time, were doing this alleged deliverance. And then one day the evil spirit answered them and said this, Jesus I know, and I know about Paul, the apostle, but who are, then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of his house naked and bleeding. My friends, listen, be forewarned. Something of this nature will happen to you or to me. I don't claim it. And believe me, I do not claim it. But something of this nature would happen to anyone who encounters devils and commands devils to come out without the authority of the kingdom of God firmly established. Very important, the reason I wrote the book. Remember now again, the word possessed here comes from the Greek word meaning vexed with a demon, not possessed. Great difference, and we'll learn that tomorrow. And if you have any questions regarding what you've heard, if you would only email me, patriciajoyxavier@gmail.com. I will be happy to discuss anything with you. My sister did, and we had a wonderful discussion. God bless you.